Thanks for being with us on The Takeaway today. I'm Todd Zwillick. We just heard about the shortage of IV equipment thanks to Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico, and that has real consequences for hundreds of thousands of Americans who will be hospitalized with the flu this year. Have you gotten your flu shot? Public health professionals and your doctor actually want to know. Flu is not just the infection that keeps you home from work for a few days in bed. Flu kills more than 36,000 Americans every year and sends more than 200,000 people to the hospital. It is no joke. Well, this flu season is shaping up to be especially nasty, in part because this year's flu vaccine just isn't as effective as usual. We want to talk about why the flu virus is a little bit more dangerous this year and exactly what's going on with the flu vaccine. Dr. Tom Frieden is president and CEO of Resolve to Save Lives. That's an initiative of Vital Strategies. He was also director of the Centers for Disease Control from 2009 until 2017. Tom Frieden, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we've heard a lot about a nasty flu season already. Why is it nastier this year? People are talking about an Australian strain. Is it stronger? Is it more virulent? What's going on?
There are different strains of flu each year. A predominant strain usually emerges. You can predict that by seeing what happens in the southern hemisphere months earlier. And this isn't from Australia, but it's circulating and caused a really bad flu season in Australia. It's a type of influenza A called H3N2 that tends to be quite hard on the elderly and on children. And that's why we're particularly concerned, because many of the deaths from flu season each year are in the elderly and tragically also in children.
And we've seen more infections and worse infections in Australia. Australia has its summer while we have our winter, so you can sort of see what's going on with the flu strains.
It gives us a pretty good guess of what might happen here, but the one thing you can predict about flu is that it's unpredictable. So only this year's flu season will show us what happens, but we know that we're primed for having a pretty bad year because of the strain of flu that's circulating, and because, as you mentioned, the flu vaccine may not be as effective this year as we would hope it would be.
Is the flu vaccine less effective against that H3N2? Is that the problem?
Each year, the flu virus changes a bit, and sometimes those changes make it so that the vaccine doesn't work as well. This vaccine, we think, will be about 30%, about one-third effective against flu. That's not nearly as good as a usual year where it's about 60, 65% effective. And of course, the flu vaccine isn't as effective as most of our vaccines, which are 80, 90, 95% effective. But the flu vaccine is still by far the single most effective way you can prevent the flu.
All right. Well, I want to talk about vaccines and how they're made. Before we do that, Tom Frieden, you are president and CEO of Resolve to Save Lives, an initiative of Vital Strategies. Does your company, your organization, get money from vaccine manufacturers or pharmaceutical manufacturers?
No. Resolve to Save Lives is fully funded by three very generous philanthropy groups, the Bloomberg Family Foundation, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative.
So no direct links to vaccine industry. All right. So let's talk about how vaccines are made then. You talk about this lead time. And for years, public health people have said, we want to be able to make vaccines faster. They actually grow this stuff on eggs, hundreds of millions of eggs in factories all over America and in other places. People have been looking for a faster way to do this. One way is called cell culture. Find a new way to grow vaccines. They've been talking about this for many, many years, decades, in fact. Has this technology advanced? Is anybody using it?
Absolutely. There's a vaccine on the market today that's made entirely in cell-based vaccine production facilities. So it's there. It's an advance. It obviously doesn't leave us dependent on eggs. There's some evidence that it might be better, but we don't know that for sure. It's one of the enhancements we've had. There are other enhancements like shortening the time to produce a flu vaccine, shortening the time to confirm that it's as effective as we'd like or as potent as we'd like. And that's the kind of small tweak that can make a real difference. We're talking about a 4, 5, 6 month production period. If we can knock off a week or two here and there, we can get that down to shorter periods, then we can basically decide closer to real time which exact strains to use. We've also been using new technologies to get the best possible vaccine strain to grow quickly and in a way that's most likely to protect people against the flu.
You were at the CDC for 8 years during the Obama administration. People in your position, beat down the doors and lobby every year, not only for the money that they need, but from the attention from policymakers to take things like flu, things like Ebola, frankly, seriously, even if they're not leading the cable news with threats of pandemic. What's the state of public health right now?
The risk is always that people will be more interested in fighting the crisis at hand, that often those in Washington think of what's going to happen next week, not 2 or 5 years from now. And public health doesn't always do well in that context, because when we're most successful, people don't see the problem because we prevent the outbreak. I often ask people if they remember the big outbreak we had in the U.S. of Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, or MERS. Most people don't, because we didn't have an outbreak. There were a couple of isolated cases. The hospitals did a great job. We had testing laboratories throughout the country, and it was stopped. So when you don't see a problem, it's hard to get Congress to invest in it. I'm encouraged by the fact that both sides of the aisle, within the administration and outside, there are many individuals who understand the importance of public health and care deeply about protecting Americans, and understand that public health is essential to the health security of this country. Whether that translates into enough money for the CDC to protect Americans remains to be seen.
I want to ask you about one other issue from the CDC that people have heard about within the last couple of weeks, and it's a strange one. The idea that the administration has either banned or discouraged the use of certain terms from people at the CDC when they're talking to members of Congress or people in Washington. Simple terms like evidence-based or family planning or science-based, things that people in your position, Dr. Frieden, say all the time when they're describing the science that's part of their professions. What have you heard about that?
I haven't seen any information. I don't have any firsthand information about it. Certainly, it's not uncommon for people to think about what's going to be the most convincing way to argue for the very important programs that need to be supported. To me, there's really only one bottom line, and that's what the bottom line is. What is going to be the funding for CDC to protect Americans? There's a crucial issue here that with Ebola, there was a significant investment in strengthening systems to track and stop diseases overseas so we don't have to fight them here, so there wouldn't be another preventable epidemic like Ebola. That funding is evaporating, and if it's not replaced, Americans will be less safe.
Dr. Tom Frieden, President and CEO of Resolve to Save Lives, an initiative of Vital Strategies, former director of the Centers for Disease Control during the Obama administration. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.